Remember, last week we looked at the first four verses, and Psalm 51 again was David writing to the Lord after he's been confronted by Nathan about his sin with Bathsheba. And the seriousness that David saw in his sin that he had committed, not only to Bathsheba, not only to others, but to the Lord, that he had committed it, and it was a hideous sin that he had committed. And it was just the seriousness that David saw about the sin in his life, and how we struggle sometimes with putting that same seriousness on our own sin in our life, that we forget about how serious it is, and we, "Oh Lord, forgive me," without any sincerity in our heart. And today we're going to look at the rest of the chapter, 5 through 19. And but I want to read the entire thing again, not just 5 through 19, to put the first section in our mind again, so that we don't miss out on David's attitude in the moment as he's writing the rest of this chapter. So let us read the entire thing, starting off. Psalm 51, for the choir director, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise, for thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. By thy favor do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on thy altar. So starting off in verses 5 and 6, we see here two beholds. And these two beholds set the themes. There's three themes in the remainder of this chapter that we see in verses 5 and 6. And these set the themes for the rest of the chapter. In the first part of 5, we see, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So David's mindset is, even though I've committed this sin against you, Lord, with Bathsheba, this is not the main issue. This sin right here is not the main issue. The main issue is that I, to my very core, am naturally a sinner. I am naturally against you with sin. That is my nature, to sin against you, Lord. And it has been my nature since the moment that my mother conceived me. That is the main issue that I have against you. So then we have the second theme that we see in the first part of 6. Behold, Thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. So, we have, on the one hand, my natural tendency to be against the Lord and sin against God. And then on the other hand, we have what God desires, which is truth in the innermost being. And it creates this massive chasm that seems impossible to gap, which it is by ourselves. And remember this statement, in the innermost being, that he writes there. That will be very key as we look at later verses in the chapter. And so, it is not the pretense that he desires. It is not an outward expression of actions that he desires for us to do, but it is rather the very core of our nature that he desires. He desires truth in the innermost being. So, yes, we are to do the actions that please him, but those actions are not what pleases him. It is the motive by which we do those actions, the attitude by which we do those actions that pleases him. He desires the truth in our innermost being. And then the third main topic that we see here in verse 6 is, in spite of this chasm that we see in our sin and what the Lord desires, we see that he says, David says, "And in the hidden part, thou wilt make me know wisdom." So, David says this. Note the confidence that David says that statement in. He doesn't say, "Oh God, please make me know wisdom. Oh God, will you make me know wisdom?" He says, "Thou will make me know wisdom." So David is praying to the Lord here, and he has a confidence that what he's asking for, that God will fulfill this request. And Chandler is leading our home group through a study on prayer right now. And a verse that he mentioned this past Wednesday was Mark 11. It was larger than what I'm going to read, but verses 23 and 24 say, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." I know that in my own life, as far as prayer goes, I struggle that I'll ask God to do something in my life. Help me with this issue. But it's almost like I don't even think that it's possible to be done. I don't have a confidence that the Lord can change that part of my life. And so it doesn't change. I just fall back into it, and then I say, "Oh, well, that's what it's always been." But here we see David having a confidence in his request to the Lord that it doesn't even seem like a request. It's a statement that he will do this. I mean, just 5 minutes ago, we don't know how long after his sin with Bathsheba was committed that this was written, but he's just done this work, and he has this attitude of, "Oh my gosh," this seriousness of sin, and then he turns right around and says, "But you will make me know wisdom." He flips across. So in spite of this great chasm that we see in the first two topics, he knows that God will purify him when he prays for this. And so those are the three main things that we see in the remainder of this chapter. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 17 and keep that in mind, these three topics, that we are utterly sinful, that what God desires is innermost truth in our souls, and that when we pray to God, God can change us. In fact, God is the only one who can change our actions, our motives, to desire Him and to change our actions to do what is pleasing in His sight. And so, as we read 7 through 17, though, don't forget what David has just done with Bathsheba, the sorrow and the anguish that he is feeling over his sin, as we read that as well. He says, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise, for thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So, notice that he's praying for God to change him from what he currently is, from what he currently knows is what he's struggling with. He's struggling with this sin in his life. And you're struggling with sin in your life just the same as he was. It's probably not with a woman named Bathsheba, but we all are struggling with sin, and we have to address those sins to the Lord and ask Him to purify us from the sins that we're struggling with so that we can then praise Him and we can teach transgressors His way, that they would be converted to Thee, to God. And notice in verse 16 and 17, he says, "For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings." Remember the statement in verse 6. Thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. So it's not my actions that please you here. It's not my sacrifices and burnt offerings, which you tell me to do. It's not my actions towards you that please you, but it's my innermost, it's the broken spirit and the contrite heart, O God, that thou wilt not despise. But then going on into verse 18 and 19, he says, "By thy favor do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on thine altar." So first he says, I'm not going to do sacrifices and burnt offerings because those don't please you. I'm going to have a broken and contrite heart. But then he turns right around and says, I'm going to do sacrifices and burnt offerings so that I can glorify you. But it is the motive that he addresses first. Verses 7 through 12, he's asking God to change him so that he can worship God. And then verse 13, then he has a response to what God has done in his life. God has changed him, then I will teach transgressors thy ways. God has made his spirit the way it should be, then I will make an action because now I know that my spirit is right with God. It is this sanctification that God is changing our spirit within, and then we will make an action on that changed spirit. It is not the actions themselves that are pleasing to God. It's not the sacrifices and burnt offerings that are pleasing to God. It's the broken and contrite heart. But then I will make the sacrifices and burnt offerings because now my heart and soul are right with the Lord. And that is what David is getting back to me. He's praying, Lord, Purify me inwardly so that my outward actions can be pleasing to you. So, pray that in your week-to-week life as you know what sins you're struggling with. I ask the Lord to purify him and have purify you and have a confidence that he will do what you ask. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we all struggle with sin week to week. Sometimes it seems so overwhelming that it will never be able to get out of this hole that we're in of struggling with sin. That it's continually creating this gap between us and you. And we see sometimes a relationship deteriorating between us and you, God, because of sin in our lives, and we focus on sin more than we focus on you. Help us to remember that you can change us. You can change our hearts to not want that sin anymore. You did take a dead person and bring him to life. You did create a dead soul in us and bring us to life. And if you can do that, you can change our desires whenever we desire sin over you, Lord. So no matter how great the chasm seems in our lives, Lord, help us to remember that you can span that chasm and pull us across to the other side, to where we desire you and worship you and focus on you. And our relationship with you seems closer than ever before, Lord. You can do that. And help us to be in prayer for that. Use Matt's message this morning to help us to better understand your word so that we can accomplish this in our day-to-day lives, our minute-to-minute lives, where it seems that sometimes sin seems overwhelming. Give Matt the right words that he needs to say this morning, Lord. Be with him as he speaks to us this morning. Be with Hank as he leads us in worship.